You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
He, of course, covers the Jets for ESPN New York. Richard, how are you this evening? It has not been a boring few days.
No, the last couple of, actually last Thursday, you know, things started really heating up with Jamal, so it's given us plenty to write about.
All right, so the last 2 days, I read it as follows. I listened to Greg Williams yesterday, and I felt like that was the first olive branch maybe from the organization, having somebody who Jamal really respects come out and talk about how much he loves him. And then today, you know, Adam Gase, the tone sounded a little dumbfounded to me that he was finding out that maybe he didn't have a, not finding out, but, you know, that it was suggested he didn't have a great relationship with Jamal. So how did you read it the last 2 days from those two?
Yeah, I actually saw your Twitter post last night, and I agreed with it about the Greg Williams thing. And I think Adam more or less continued that company line today. Now, he was not quite as effusive and gushing as Greg Williams was, because that's just not Adam's personality. But I think the message was the same. It was, like you said, an olive branch to Jamal. Like, we like you. You know, we really like you. We want you to stay. We expect you to be here. And we could do some good things. So that's the message I took away from it. When I asked Gase point blank today, are you open to an extension before the start of the season, he punted on that one. You know, he said, we don't talk about contracts publicly. And really, that is the crux of the entire issue right there. That was the question I asked him.
Rich, how are the Jets feeling about this whole thing right now?
Well, there's two levels of feeling, if you will. You know, on one level, you know, I think they're kind of know they control the situation because they have the leverage. They have the player under contract for 2 more years, plus the franchise tags if they want to use them. So it's a tremendous amount of bargaining leverage for the New York Jets. And I think they know that. So they're acting as if there's no sense of urgency. And like Adam said today, you know, sometimes players go through stuff, and this is the bad part of the business. And that's one level. I think they're kind of writing it off as just business. And there's another level, though, where I know the team officials were really upset by the way Jamal's been posting on social media and ranting and criticizing the team. And I know that for a fact, that things got a little bit heated between Douglas and the agents over that very fact last week. And so there's two different levels of reaction from the Jets.
All right, so let's talk about this for a second. Jamal said initially that he was promised a proposal by this, right, by at some point this offseason. Clearly the Jets read that differently when they said, we're want to talk about it after the draft. But, you know, there was a lot of talk with Joe where it was almost like leading him on a little bit. Do you feel like that's where Jamal might have gotten burned here?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Jets misled him publicly because, you know, I mean, Joe has been nothing but complimentary of Jamal when he speaks about him publicly, and we want to make him a Jet for life, and we're going to get with his agents after the draft to talk about this. And so when you say stuff like that, the player reads it as, you know, okay, we're going to, you know, we're going to sit down and talk and be serious and try to get a deal done here. And that has not been the way the Jets have approached it behind the scenes. You know, they've been slow playing it because, quite honestly, I don't think they want to do a deal this year. You know, I think they'd rather kick the can down the road to 2021. And honestly, I can't say I blame them. When you look at the current climate in the NFL and when you look at the history of recent first-round picks, very rarely do guys get new deals after their third year. So the Jets have history on their side, and they have the current climate on their side. No one's getting extensions in the NFL right now. So I understand where they're coming from, but I do agree with you, Chris. I think they misled him with some of their public comments.
Rich Simini, of course, covers the Jets great for us on ESPN New York. Rich, when it comes to Jamal and Gase, what is that relationship? Is it problematic?
You know, I hadn't heard that. You know, the Jets have, and I think you know this, maybe some of the fans know, the Jets have an unusual dynamic with their coaching staff. I mean, Greg Williams, it's like almost like they have two head coaches. You know, Greg is in charge of the defense. And I know a lot of teams' defensive coordinator is that guy, but I think it's more so on the Jets because Adam is content to just do the offense, and Greg is like a head coach presence because, you know, he's been a heavy head coach before, and he runs the defense that way. And I know Jamal has a really good relationship with Greg Williams, and I'm sure he sees him as his head coach. Now, does he have a warm and fuzzy relationship with Adam Gase? I tend to doubt it. I don't know if any player on defense does. So, but I don't think that's the reason why he is requesting a trade. I find that hard to believe. I know there was a report that suggested that. I do not put any credence in that report. I think the reason is because he wants a contract, and the Jets are moving at a snail's pace. I think that's the main reason. Usually it comes down to money in these things. And I think maybe the losing culture has some factor in it as well. But the Gase relationship, all I know is on January 27th, Jamal said on Twitter, you know, I'm expecting an extension from the Jets before the season. I want to be in New York, ! So by that point, he had already played a full season under Adam Gase. So tell me what happened between January 27th and now to change that. You know, I don't think it has.
Yeah, I didn't put any credence in that report either. Rich Cimini with us. And that just leads me to this. Is this more about wanting to set a precedent? We don't want to pay guys after the third year. Or is this also kind of tied into the fact that you have as much money tied into C.J. Mosley as you do right now?
I think it's more the former. The whole contract structure in the NFL, it's weird the way it's set up because, you know, guys are eligible for a new deal after their third year if they're a first round pick. And since 2011, when this system went into effect, only three defensive players have received new deals after their third year. And those were Patrick Peterson, J.J. Watt, and Robert Quinn. Luke Kuechly actually got one game into his fourth season, so basically after his third year. So say four guys out of the last few drafts. I think it's something like 120 players. So it's rare for it to happen. Jamal does not play a premium position, and I think the Jets feel that you're right. They don't want to set a precedent, and they feel that history is on their side. And look at the climate in the league now. That, you know, there's going to be a shortfall in revenue because of the pandemic. And a lot of teams, every team, they don't know what the salary cap's going to be next year. So how do you give out a long-term deal when you don't know what the spending limit is? So those are all factors that go into it.
Rich Cimini with us. When it comes to Joe now at this point and his relationship with Jamal, is this just as simple as working as hard as you can to improve it without giving in to him and making him understand that there's nothing is going to change just because he's complaining as much as he is?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've talked to some people around the league and some agents about how the Jets should handle it, and they feel that, you know, at some point they probably should sit down with Jamal and explain their situation and say how much they want them and how much they need them, but they're just not, you know, ready to do a deal right now. I don't know if that conversation has taken place. Generally, front offices don't deal directly with the player during negotiating. It's, you know, that's what you're paying the agent for, and so they usually handle that. I don't know what the relationship is personally between Joe and Jamal. They obviously had that little blow up last year at the trading deadline. Well, Jamal did anyway, when he criticized Joe's handling of that entire situation with the Cowboys. And they said they buried the hatchet, but I'm not so sure they did. I think it put a strain on their relationship. So, look, this is June. We've got a long way to go. It's going to be a story that will go through the preseason. And if Jamal is not around come Labor Day weekend, then the Jets are going to have to make a decision. Jamal's going to have to make a decision. I don't think he's going to want to miss game checks. So I suspect he'd come back to the team. And if the Jets get blown away by an offer by another team, you know, I think they'd take the offer. Just much like the Jaguars did last year with Jalen Ramsey. They couldn't turn down two number one picks.
And we clarified this a few weeks ago. You did for me, but let's do it on the air. When it comes to Jamal holding out. They could forgive the fines, correct? Because he's going for his second deal if he actually did do that. But what is the deal with showing up on time and service time? What is that whole situation?
Yeah, so if he doesn't show up the first day of training camp, then he forfeits an accrued season. And, so some people think that would be a huge detriment for him because it would stop him from moving one step closer to free agency. But I've also talked to some agents who say that's really not a big deal for Jamal because he's probably never going to get to free agency. He's going to get the blockbuster deal from someone before he gets to that point. So it depends on who you talk to about that accrued season. And it is $40,000 a day for not reporting. And like you said, Chris, there's different. In some cases, it's so complicated, the CBA, but I actually talked to someone from the NFLPA who said that, yes, in fact, the Jets could waive the fine at the end of the preseason if they choose to. Normally that happens when if a deal actually gets done. But if a deal doesn't get done, they can hold him to the fines.
Rich, I know it's a guessing game, but just put a percentage on it at this point that whenever the season starts that Jamal is in a Jet uniform.
Yeah, it is a good guessing game. It's a good way of putting it, Chris, because it's just we're a couple of months out. So, I mean, if I had to say, I'd probably, and I'm changing on this, I think I said something slightly different the other night on a radio show. I think maybe slightly favoring him being in uniform for the start of the season, maybe a 55-45 or a 60-40, only because the Jets have so much leverage and Jamal doesn't. So I think possibly I'd lean toward that right now because I don't think the Jets want to trade him. They want him to be on the roster. They want to sign him long term. They just don't want to do it now. And so unless they get blown away by an offer, and I'm really thinking that might be hard because, like I said, he's not a cornerback like Jalen Ramsey. And teams, like I said, they're not throwing around these blockbuster deals because of the uncertainty about the revenue. So I just don't know if the team is going to offer what it would take to make a trade. So I'd say slightly favoring him being in a Jet uniform to start the season. Whether he finishes is a different story.
Last one. What did you take out of the suggestion that Jamal, wanted? We heard different things. Wanted $20 million a year. Wanted to be the highest paid Jet. What's fact? What's fiction here from what you can gather?
Yeah, the $20 million. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, tweeted something about how executives around the league get the sense that he wants to be the highest paid, one of the highest paid defensive players. I think there's five or six defensive players who are over the $20 million a year threshold. So that was sort of connecting the dots. I don't know. No one ever told me that he's looking for $20 million a year. I can tell you this right now. There's no way he's getting $20 million a year. That's just not happening. He wants to be the highest paid safety. We know that. So that would put him close to $15 a year. And I do believe he wants to be the highest on the Jets, which would put him at slightly over 17 a year. I think that is something that he probably feels he earns. And he's the best player on the team. So based on that, you could say, well, I should be the highest paid player on the team. So I think somewhere in that range, around the 17-ish mark, is probably what he's looking for.
Rich, great stuff. We appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend. And thanks for keeping us informed, as always, man.
It's always my pleasure. Have a good night, Chris.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.